Good afternoon. I call the Senate Finance Committee meeting to order. Today's Friday, May 14th. The time is 2:07. Please silence all cell phones. Present today are online. Is Senator Olson, Senator Wilikowski.
Yes, I'm here, Senator. Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. We can hear you. Senator Wilikowski, did I hear you?
Yes.
Very good. Okay, Senator Co-Chair Stedman, Senator Von Imhoff, Senator Wilson, myself, Senator Bishop, Senator Hoffman's away on other state business. Today's agenda is HB 100 is up first. HB 100. This is the second hearing of HB 100. We open and close public testimony on May 3rd. Our intention is to hear a bill of reintroduction, consider an amendment and a letter of intent, review fiscal notes, and look to the will of the committee. Bill reintroduction, Representative Wold, Ms. Kukarik, would you please come forward?
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair, members of the Senate Finance Committee. Adam Wold, Representative, District 5, Fairbanks.
Please. Ashley, you want to put yourself on the record?
Ashley Carrick, staff to Representative Wohl.
Thank you. Just a brief introduction, Mr.
Oh, yes. TVEP, the HB 100 is the TVEP reauthorization bill, technical vocational education program. It takes a percentage of the UI insurance fund and distributes it to 10 programs around the state, largest recipient being the University of Alaska, which gets 45%. Nine other recipients get between 2 and 7%, I think, of the total. It's approximately $12 million to be distributed.
Thank you. Questions from committee members? We do have Dan Wayne, Dan DiBartello from Department of Labor, and Dan Wayne from Ledge Legal on, if we have any questions. Amendments. Do we have amendments?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I move amendment number one.
I'll object.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This amendment would take a 10% reduction to the formula in the university and redistribute it to the remaining TVIP recipients. So Galena would go from 4 to 5%, Alaska Tech Center would go from 9 to 10, and so forth down the agenda. The university stands to have their UGF budget increase over the governor's request by at least $10 million this year thus far. That was done in the Senate Finance Subcommittee. The House version of the operating budget increases the university budget by $15.7 million above the governor's request. We don't know how many federal funds stand to receive through the RO or the other federal funds yet, Mr. Chair. Sort of the truth in budgeting, if we want to incorporate TVIP into the university funding, then we should sort of fund them in total, part of the annual funding, not through a different statute. And I would like to see TVIP receipts go to other vocational institutions at higher levels throughout the state. And sort of the come to the core question, is the university more of an academic or vocational type of institution? And I think that we should have the these vocational institutions here provide what they do best and sort of limit its focus and looking at some of the TVIP outcomes of some of the programs, which hopefully I think we'll see with their letter intent that they actually may do a better job than the university in some of the outcomes of some of these other institutions. And so I just want to give those other these other entities the chance to have a greater success. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. A little bit concerned about this amendment, a little bit concerned about the bill itself. And so let me, the amendment heightens my concern with the bill itself in that the region I represent, their allocation comes out of the university. I think they're underrepresented to start with, so I have a little trouble, although I do support the passage of this bill, and I've worked with the chairman on how to have this issue reviewed going forward and make sure it's, you know, fair in the best interest of the entire state. So I think by adopting this amendment, Mr. Chairman, we further heighten my concern that some areas of the state are underrepresented. So I don't oppose, or I do oppose this amendment.
Thank you. Senator Von Imhoff?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The maker of the amendment brings up some good points, and I think it's worthy of a bigger discussion whether the University of Alaska should be more of an academic versus workforce development. Do we want to have the university involved heavily in workforce development in itself, or be participatory with other organizations around the state? Are good questions, particularly when the university is looking to some degree reinvent itself. But I'm concerned it's a much greater and broader conversation that should take place perhaps at a full committee hearing with the university at the head of the table. I'm concerned right now having this quick fix via an amendment process. I worry that there's unintended consequences and that programs may not have the funding that they need and are counting on. So at this point, I invite the maker of the amendment to bring this subject up again at a later date and have a robust conversation. I'm willing to have it, but just not this way. Thank you.
Any further conversation on the amendment? Will the clerk call the roll?
Senator Olson.
Who is that?
We're voting on the amendment, Senator Olson, and I've...
Yes.
Senator Von Imhoff.
No.
Senator Wilikowski.
No.
Yes.
Senator Bishop?
No.
Senator Stedman?
No.
Two yeas, four nays.
All right. Four nays and two yeas. Amendment number one fails. Next up, we've got a letter of intent language before us. I'd like Ms. Curtis and Ms. Shine to...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
This is Senator Olson. I was wondering... are we allowed to go ahead and give conceptual amendments as well?
Well, how long is it?
Well, just a conceptual amendment on a sunset date, which is a year from now, and have it go up 10 years so we're not working this thing over every year.
I think you might want to listen to the intent letter conversation first before you'd want to make that conceptual amendment.
Okay, I'd be glad to.
Yep. Ms. Shine and Ms. Curtis, if you would come to the table, please, and thank you, Representative Wohl, Ms. Kukarik.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Erin Shine. I'm staff to co-chair Bishop in the Senate Finance Committee. I'd like to direct the committee's attention to a letter of intent for House Bill 100, Version A. This is a letter of intent that's proposed to follow the bill through the rest of the process that would identify that it's the intent of the legislature that the Department of Education, Early Development, the Department of Labor and Workforce Development, and the University of Alaska cooperate with a special audit to be requested at a future Legislative Budget Audit Committee hearing. As the conversation that was just highlighted through the amendment process, I think that there's a lot of questions and concerns around the funding and potentially some of the participants in the program. And so after our last hearing, we contacted the legislative budget auditor, Ms. Curtis, and I had indicated to see if there was any sort of availability within the legislative and budget audits workload to potentially do a special audit at the request to be approved by obviously the Legislative Budget Audit Chair and Committee starting in the interim. And I'll let Ms. Curtis confirm, but the response was that within probably a year or two, the workload would be such that they would be able to complete a special audit within the 3-year sunset timeline to be able to bring the report back prior to the sunset date for the legislature to have a more robust conversation. As members might remember, almost any time that this reauthorization bill comes before the legislature, these questions continue to come up. And so we thought that this would be a way for there to be a more substantial report for the consideration going forward for the sunsets in the future.
Thank you. Ms. Curtis, is that accurate?
For the record, this is Chris Curtis, State Legislative Auditor. Yes, that is accurate.
Thank you. Questions of Ms. Curtis, Senator Stedman, or Ms. Shine?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I do support this. That helps address my concern with the bill. I don't know what the outcome's going to be, and I could. It's been going on for years, so a couple more years while we sort this out and justify all, you know, individual participants within these allocations, and or other schools or what have you that may feel that they should be. I am concerned that one of them may not even qualify. So, and then the distribution option also will take that into consideration when we go forward. So I think this is a good move. Maybe we can get this particular issue settled over the next couple of years after we have the audit completed. Thank you.
I concur with Senator Stedman's. And just for a little background, I was a commissioner of labor sitting at that end of the table when he was the co-chair of finance, having these same conversations 16 years ago on accountability, and was able to write some accountability language that sufficed for the co-chair at that time, but it's not been audited. I support the audit, I'm waiting with bated breath to see what it says, but I think it's going to surprise people on how well it does perform. Thank you. Any other comments or questions to the
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Olson? Senator Olson?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, I have a lot of faith in Chris Curtis and her ability to go ahead and conduct an impartial audit of whatever's out there. I was wondering, though, the purpose of the audit, is she just looking at the success of the program, or what else is she looking at?
What are you looking at?
We were having a lot of trouble, Senator Olson, hearing you. We've caught parts of that, but maybe I could have them turn the volume up, and maybe you could repeat it and slow down just a little bit. Thank you.
Okay. I have a lot of faith and credibility in Ms. Curtis as the auditor that does that, but I was wondering, what were the specific reasons for the audit? What is she going to be looking at? Is it just the success of the program, or are there other issues that she is looking at?
Ms. Schein?
For the record, this is Erin Schein. Through the chair, Senator Olson, the special audit would be designed in conjunction with the legislative budget audit chair and with Ms. Curtis in outlining some of the criteria. And that would be brought to the Legislative Budget Audit Committee for consideration. If there are specific items, then our office is happy to work with anyone within the legislature to look at some of the metrics that would be provided to the legislative auditor for consideration in the report back to the legislature. So at this time, this is the intent letter is to identify that we will be requesting one, and the items that would be taken care of or looked at in the audit would be worked out through the Legislative Budget Audit Committee.
I have no further questions, and I'm in favor of it.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Okay, any further questions? We're ready to cover fiscal notes. Anybody want to volunteer? Senator Von Imhoff?
So I believe it's fiscal note number one, is that correct?
Yes.
I just have the one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it looks like included in governor's 22 requests about $490,000.
Fiscal note number one. Let me go off of my sheet.
Yeah, okay.
Fiscal note number one, OMB component 2796, Department of Education. Appropriations to education, support admin services, student and school achievement. That number is 1151 VOTEC Ed DGF.
Do you want to pass that or leave that amount?
VOTEC DGF amounts requested are $490,000.8, then $463 in the out years. Second bill is fiscal note number six, It is to the University of Alaska. It's for 1151. Fund source DGF, $5,213,000, starting in 22 through 24. The third one is fiscal note number 7, OMB component number 2688. It is to AVTEC, Alaska Vocational Technical Center. That's in the Department of Labor, and that is $2,351.07. And then the years 23, 24, 19, $1.969. The fourth one is fiscal note number 8, OMB component 2659, Department of Labor. Allocation is to the Workforce Investment Board. 1151, Votech Education, DGF. It's in the request is in 22 is $4,717. The out years it's $4,051. Fiscal note number 9, OMB component number 3117, Department of Labor appropriation is to Employment and Training Services. That is 1151. Fiscal year 22 is $80,000. Number 10, fiscal note number 10 is Department of Labor, Employment and Training, Unemployment Insurance, OMB component number 2276. 1151 is the fund source, DGF, that's $428,000. And people are probably asking, what's that for? That's for the services, that's where the money is collected, so that's just fees for the department to do that and reallocate the funds. Fiscal note number 11, University of Alaska, OMB component number 1296, budget, and this is appropriations to the University of Alaska, 1151, and 22 is $6,225,000, and 23 and 24 is $5 million and change, $5,200 to be exact. That's all of them. Seeing no further questions, looking to the will of the committee. Chairman, I have a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that we move House Bill 100, Version A, from committee with individual recommendations and attach fiscal notes to the next committee referral.
Seeing no objections,
we'll have a brief at ease.
Brief at ease. Back on the record.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to go ahead and add to the motion to move House Bill 100 Version A from committee with individual with a letter of intent, individual comments, and attached fiscal notes.
Thank you. All right, we'll take just a brief at ease just for a second. Back on the record, I apologize to those of you who are waiting online. We will not hear House Bill 41 today. It's going to be set aside for the moment. We're going to hear HB 117, extend the Board of Direct Entry Midwives. This is the first hearing of the bill. Our intention is to hear bill introduction, listen to invited and public testimony, set the bill aside. Bill introduction would be Representative Ortez, Caroline Hamp, staff to Rep. Ortez, please bring yourselves before the committee and introduce yourselves, and please start with your presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon. For the record, I'm Representative Dan Ortiz, serving District 36, Southern Southeast Alaska.
And for the record, I'm Caroline Hamp, staff to Representative Ortez.
Thank you, Co-Chair Bishop, for allowing House Bill 117 to be heard today, and thank you to the committee members for your time. House Bill 117 extends the termination date for the Board of Direct Entry Midwives to June 30th, 2023. This is a two-year extension at the recommendation of Legislative Audit. Mr. Chairman, the Board is comprised of 5 members, 2 direct entry midwives, 1 physician licensed by the State Medical Board, 1 certified nurse licensed by the Board of Nursing, and 1 public member. Under statute, Mr. Chairman, the Board examines and issues certificates and permits, establishes regulations for certification and practice requirements, it orders disciplinary actions, and approves curricula and standards for education, training, and apprenticeships. The bill has a $21,800 fiscal note, all of which is covered with revenues from license fees. In the room, Mr. Chairman, we have Chris Curtis from Legislative Audit, who will go over the sunset audit review. And we also have online Sharon Walsh, Deputy Director of DCCED Licensing, and Bethel Belisle, Board Chair, who will discuss how the Board has addressed the recommendations. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee for hearing this particular bill.
Thank you, sir. Well done on the bill introduction. Thank you. Questions of the bill sponsor before we bring Ms. Curtis before the committee? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Ms. Curtis?
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm your state legislative auditor. Division of Legislative Audit did conduct a sunset audit of the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives. It is dated June of 2020. I believe you all have a copy of it in your meeting packets. So overall, this audit concluded that the Board did serve the public's interest by conducting meetings in accordance with state laws and by effectively certifying midwives. The Board adopted regulatory changes to improve the profession. However, we found it failed to pursue statutory changes due to concerns over related costs. Additionally, the audit found that their peer review process was not effectively monitored by the Board and improvements were needed over DCBPL's investigative process. We recommend the legislature extend this board 2 years, which is significantly less than the 8-year maximum allowed for in statute. The reduced extension is due to an issue we identified during the audit that may impact the board's ability to protect the public and the board's reluctance to pursue statutory changes in the public's best interests. The details of this issue we identified are not included in this public report to preserve the confidentiality of an ongoing investigation. The reduced extension reflects the need for more routine oversight. If you turn to page 7 of the audit, you will find the board's licensing statistics. As of January 2020, there were a total of 51 certified midwives and apprentice midwives. The schedule of fees is on page 8. The fees were raised in FY17 to address a deficit, and as a result, midwives have one of the highest, if not the highest, fee of any occupation. The schedule of revenues and expenditures can be found on page 9. This shows that the board had a deficit of just over $19,000 as of January 2020. And at the time of the audit, DCBPL management expected the deficit to be fully resolved by the end of FY21. Now, the audit includes 3 recommendations that begin on page 11. Recommendation 1, the board should recommend statutory changes that benefit the public. The board identified a need to change certification statutes to align with national standards, but they did not pursue the changes due to concerns over the impact on the fees. And they, however, due to the legal costs involved with the project, the board did not recommend the changes. Recommendation number 2 is on page 12. We recommend DCBPL's chief investigator ensure investigations are completed timely. Auditors reviewed 3 cases that were open over 180 days and found all 3 had unjustified periods of inactivity that ranged from 54 days to 114 days. Recommendation 3, we recommend the board improve oversight of the peer review process. The board delegated peer reviews to the Midwife Association of Alaska's Action and Accountability Committee. However, the board did not establish procedures to provide assurance that the reviews were adequately completed. Inadequate monitoring of the peer review process increases the risk that the reviews will be deficient, which increases the risk to public safety. Responses to the audit begin on page 23. The Commissioner of the Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development did not respond to recommendations 1 and 3 as those were directed to the board. However, the Commissioner responded to recommendation number 2 regarding improving the timeliness of investigations and stated that the department was adding an additional supervisory position to assist with the caseload. The Chair's response starts on page 25. The Chair expressed disappointment with our short 2-year extension recommendation. Regarding recommendation 1 to pursue statutory changes when needed, the Chair believes their inaction was justified as a way to reduce costs and that the Board should not be penalized for their fiscal responsibility. In response to recommendation 2 to improve the timeliness of investigations, the Chair concurs with the finding but doesn't believe it should have impact their term of extension as that responsibility rests with the Department. And in response to recommendation 3, to improve monitoring of the peer review process, the Chair concurs with the recommendation. And that ends the overview.
Questions of Ms. Curtis? Okay, we're going to open public testimony. Public testimony is open. Am I missing something? I don't see anybody. Is that correct? Thank you. Anybody in the room wishing to testify? Okay. We do have the board chair, midwives, here for questions. I see if anybody has any questions. Senator Wilson, you have a question for the chair of the Bethel?
Yes, Mr. Chair. And if she could answer, or maybe another person online from the department, or maybe Ms. Curtis has this in her during her audit. But the Board of Midwifery, what's the percentage of, I'm trying to think of the proper term to use here, Mr. Chair, morbidity rates of children that are born through the midwifery program in Alaska. Is it within the standard norms deviation through the rest of the U.S., or is it higher, lower, in terms of
Through the chair, this is Bethel Belisle, the chair of the Board of Midwives, and I could answer that roughly.
Yes, just put yourself on the record, please, first, for our record keepers in your title.
Sure. My name is Bethel Belisle, and I'm the chair of the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives.
Thank you. And then you heard the question, and you're ready to answer.
Yes, sir. Through the chair, Senator Wilson, thank you for that question. I can't answer, specifically, but I do know that we have less than the national standard of mortality and morbidity in our for the state of Alaska as regard is compared to the rest of the United States. So our numbers are very, very small, and we're looking at less than one demise every few years. It's pretty rare that we have an event that is hurtful for moms and babies. But I don't have the exact percentage for you. I don't think anybody does.
Senator Wilson,
my head.
You're good, sir? Thank you. Thank you for that answer. Any other questions? We do have Sharon Walsh as available for questions as well. Seeing none, Senator Wilson.
I do have another question, Mr. Chair. I apologize. There's been concern in the past whether this board needs additional sort of medical supervision, either going under the Board of Nursing or under the medical board. Just wanting to know what the chair's thoughts are on those type of comments that we've heard in the past previous years.
That's a good question for the chair.
I appreciate that. So the chair of the skin, Bethel Belisle, we are a standalone profession. And our current, if you were to go back to the audit and asking that we go back to the statutory changes, that would actually bring us more ability to be a standalone practice. And in the last year, many, many practices in Alaska are working on collaborative care arrangements with local obstetricians. We've been working closely with the Providence Hospital System for not just a better flow for transports, but as well as an accountability process in the hospital where we can apply for and be granted peer review within the hospital for the work that we've done. And that, I think, is going to raise our standard of care even more. We are not nurses at all, and we are not doctors. So having us placed under those umbrellas, I think, would give undue strain and stress to the profession of midwifery.
Thank you. Seeing Senator Von Imhoff.
So thank you. I'm not sure if Ms. Curtis mentioned this. But on recommendation number one, the response from the Board of Certified Direct Entry Midwives in regards to the board not pursuing regulatory changes, the board did change the education requirement to schools with a Midwives Education and Accreditation Council. This is a huge step, the letter says, towards national alignment. Graduation from a MEAC school, which is the Education and Accreditation School, is a recognized by the U.S. Secretary of Education as a national accreditation agency for direct entry midwifery education programs. So are you seeing this, how long has this been taking place, this change in education, and are you seeing a change in behavior or standards or whatnot with your 51 licensees?
May I answer that? This is again Bethel Belisle, the chair.
Please proceed.
That took place as of January of 2020. And so that doesn't retroactively apply to the midwife, but it does apply to every future midwife, an apprentice, a student midwife. And what we've seen, it has increased actually accountability. I myself decided to go back to attend one of these MEAC schools, and I started in May of last year just to see what we were requiring of our up-and-coming midwives, and I've been very impressed with what I've been taught, even though I've been a midwife for over 20 years. So I agree that that has definitely increased our standing in the nation, as well as allowing for growth of our midwives.
Thank you. Seeing no further comments from the table, public testimony, invited testimony is closed. We'll take a brief at ease. Okay, we're back on the record. Allison, we would like to thank you for staying through with us through thick and thin, and we very much appreciate your service to the state, and I just hope that you're going to have another great state employee coming along here, because we surely need it. And we wish you the best, and we're praying and for you to have a successful childbirth and a healthy baby. So thank you. Okay, so I did that. And no, did I close public testimony? I'm checking my notes. Here it is. Yes. And if that kid can sing as good as you can, we're really going to be blessed. I'll just leave it. There you go. And I mean that. You know that. Tomorrow, stay tuned. We've got a placeholder, I think, at 10 a.m. But it's that time of year, and we're wanting to be done. So Stay tuned. And Senator Olson or Senator Wilkowski, any comments before we adjourn for today?
No, thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. And we are adjourned at 2:40.